We're back with another edition of Bright Side After Dark. I've already lost track of what episode it is, so I'm not really going to say
four.
Four. Is it four? Okay, and no one really knows
you
this.
Count on one hand.
I'm really worried about what.
Wait! You've never met me in person, so that was a risky comment because it's not. What happens if I have less than four fingers on my one hand?
Then that would be awesome and make
you
a more interesting friend.
All right.
Yeah, you'd have a lot in common with Gerald Green. That and your vertical.
All right, the person making fun of my hand and my vertical, that's Shrieker. We got Scott Howard, the person with the fake name. Now, none of you will know this because it's taped, but one person on this podcast isn't very punctual. He was about 10 minutes late, and this is kind of a somewhat frequent pattern with this podcast now.
He's holding up my Sunday. I need to go see Dawn of Planet of the Apes, and he's just too busy. Is it good?
It's really good. Yes.
Okay.
That was me. I'm the culprit. sorry. It runs in my genes, I guess.
How does punctuality run in your genes?
It's a stereotype thing. I'm making fun of my own race. It's okay. Just let it
and
go.
We're starting off with racial bombs.
What? No, that was
welcome to the podcast, everyone.
That was a terrible pun joke, if you want to be technical.
Okay.
I don't think he was going for that.
Oh,
I was.
But I was going for that.
All right. Well, yeah.
Should we talk about basketball or something?
I save punctuality for Twitter.
Yeah, sure.
All right, basketball. Don't you have like a poem to write? Something.
I did not do that. We briefly discussed talking. I was going to write some sort of like 16th century like love letter to LeBron James to like talk about how sad I was that he was leaving, and then like I didn't, and I really have no excuse for why I didn't. We spent our entire last 45 minutes on our podcast talking about LeBron James coming to the Suns, and that was pretty much out the door by, I think, like July 6th. I don't know if you guys heard, LeBron James signed with the Cleveland Cavaliers. I know that most people come to Bright Side of the Sun After Dark to get their breaking news, and I just wanted to break that one for you guys. LeBron James to the Cleveland Cavaliers.
My sources confirmed that. Yeah.
Damn, your sources confirm it.
Your dad?
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Looking back on it, sounds like Phoenix never really was. I mean, clearly they didn't get to talk to his agent, but I don't think, probably got a little too excited, but hey, whatever. We were in the conversation, technically. We were this close. When we look back on it, when history looks back, it was Cleveland and then Phoenix, and it was a really tough choice. And he went back to Cleveland. It's okay.
It is okay. I think it's a great story. I really do. I think it's a fun story. Like, LeBron, I think, didn't really know exactly what he wanted to do 4 years ago. And I think him going home is kind of just, it's a nice thing. So I do hope he can deliver him a title. I think it's going to be a pain in the ass because I think the supporting cast ain't so hot. But
Do you know what's a better story?
What is?
Cole and Melo re-signed with the Knicks.
Oh, my God. They're
fired. Just get off. Just
go
hang
away.
Up.
just because you're jealous Cole can't join the Suns. Is not my fault.
Okay, are we go? All right, let's take a break from LeBron James to talk about Cole Aldrich. I feel like we do this every podcast. Aldrich and LeBron James. And why are they in the same discussion every damn time?
Because anyway, Cole Aldrich.
Let's feel on Cole Aldrich. Last week, our shout-out, or my attempt at getting Scott a birthday shout-out on Twitter from an NBA role player, I was directed at Cole Aldrich. I reached out to him. I wrote a really nice tweet. I used all 140 characters pretty well. And I asked him to give Scott Howard a shout-out because he was his biggest fan. He did it. And now I'm kind of angry at him. You know, I had nothing against Cole before this last week. I thought, you know, maybe he was a serviceable role player. But I think he can go take his 2.5 rebound career averages. Shove him up his ass if he's not going to give birthday shout-outs to diehard fans like Scott. I mean, come on, Cole.
Diehard fans.
What are you going to do?
The only one so far out of the three guys we've asked has been Ish Smith, which confirms again that Ish Smith is the world's greatest person.
So
that, and it also confirms that the Suns need to keep going after more point guards.
Wait, so hold on, before we transition. So, if you're this angry at Cole, are you that angry at Bogdan?
No, because Bogdan is... Bogdan is God. You can't spell Bogdan without God.
You hypocrite.
Yeah. No, oh, no, it's
can you spell
hypocrite.
Cole without God? Yes, you can. Bogdan, you can't. So, case closed. Stay woke.
Oh, my Cole.
You are woke. I can tell you're woke right now.
I'm so woke. Cole, full Aldrich has got me woke.
I'm always woke for Cole. All right, so should we talk about basketball? Let's talk about Channing Frye.
You want to start with Frye?
Yeah, let's start with Channing Frye. So, you know, I think everybody kind of heard that Channing Frye took a four-year, $32 million contract to head to the Magic. We can analyze that all we want, but the only thing I really want to analyze is the one guy on Bright Side of the Sun whose response to Channing Frye leaving was basically that he was a sellout, and then he finished it off by saying he hopes he gets bit by a shark, which is kind of my favorite thing I've ever seen in print. He's so mad at Channing Frye, a guy who was a pretty great Phoenix Sun for 5 years, including one where he was out with an enlarged heart, that he hopes he goes to Orlando, swims in the ocean, and gets bit by a shark. It wasn't really clear on the amount of damage the shark would cause, but just the fact that he wants him to get bit by a shark alone is kind of enough for me. So I will be using that forever and always. So thank you to whoever that guy was. I can't really remember which one it was. Do you guys want to talk about real stuff with Channing Frye? Because I got my piece out of the way.
When I saw that too, I cracked up because, yeah, it was just so out of nowhere. And it was the best part about it. I think, wasn't it the first comment on that post? It was the very first comment. It was just hilarious. I can see that guy. I bet you, when Channing Frye comes back to Phoenix, when the Magic play in Phoenix, yeah. Everyone's going to be cheering for Channing on his homecoming. There's going to be one guy with a poster that says, with a shark drawn on it. Like, with Channing getting bit by it and just booing him. And
He's got Channing's head, like, in the shark.
That's what your next drawing should be.
Oh, I would love to do that. Like, name an NBA player and I'll draw them getting bit by a shark. Holy crap, that might be genius.
Yes.
All right, so we have the giveaway if you make it to the end of the podcast.
we'll get back to that at the end of the podcast. But, yeah, anyway, Channing, actual stuff.
Why are you ruining this by being Channing. Serious?
we won't do it for long, don't worry.
Okay.
No, I mean, Channing was awesome here, even though for some reason, like, some people just inexplicably hate him, but he was awesome here, and I don't know, I have a feeling his numbers are going to dip in Orlando. I don't know if he's going to live up to that contract, especially in the last 2 years.
When he's 34 and 35?
Yeah, but it's actually the contract decreases in money as it goes on. It's the biggest year's year one, and then it goes down.
That's good. So it's backloaded, which is good for Orlando. But he's definitely going to
help. No, it's actually front-loaded.
Sorry, front-loaded. My bad.
Yeah. You're not good with your loads.
Okay.
Wow.
I can't believe you just said that.
Whoa, we just went off the rails.
All right.
Shark bites and loads. Bright Side of Sun after dark.
Hashtag loads.
Yeah.
Hashtag loads. That's our NBC hashtag of the episode.
For this episode, but yeah. Anyway, I think Channing can help that team because that team is super young and has no shooting pretty much. Alfred Payton can't shoot. Aaron Gordon definitely can't shoot.
Yeah,
and Oladipo. I mean, I guess really no one is a great shooter on that team, especially in that starting lineup. I think Vucevic might be their best shooter before Frye got there. So their two big guys are now probably their best shooters, which is pretty.
They've got Ben Gordon.
Oh. I forgot about that. They'll come back.
But isn't that's the point of adding someone like Frye, because you get a shooter at a position that shooters aren't as good, and it should open up the court for all those other guys. And that's why you do that. And that's where I think, and I wrote about this for another website, not ours, I was getting paid that day, sorry. That's going to happen. But people look at the box score stats, and Frye's stats don't look that good. But when you look at the impact he has on the team and on the individuals on the team, it's a very strong correlation when he's on the court to the other players doing better. Even though I will say with Goran, I'm going to start saying Goran's first name instead of his last name because I can't screw that up. And everyone will know what I'm saying when I say Goran because there's not another Goran on the Sun. So that actually works. Yes,
podcast
2 points for me. Yeah. His three-point shooting makes his number, there's a little bit of flukiness to that, I would say, because I don't see, he might create a little bit more space, but a 30% difference between Goran's three-point shooting when Frye's on the court and not, I don't know how real that is, but there is a correlation to driving lanes being open and not having that is really going to hurt the Suns, especially when they played to the bottom third of the league in offense when he wasn't on the court, and they were what would have been the best offense in the NBA when he was on the court.
Let's talk about replacement plan then. So, I mean, what are they going to do? I mean, I read Koro's story today. He was saying that McDonough's claiming Markieff and Marcus are going to be the stretch four options. I really don't buy that. I think that kind of sounds like BS. I mean, that they're not going to have anybody else in there and just use Markieff and Marcus shooting threes.
I don't mind Markieff shooting more threes. I didn't necessarily like how much he cut back on them last year. You didn't need the balance of him attacking the basket and taking jumpers, but I'd rather him shoot more from three than all those mid-range jumpers he took last year.
The problem is he makes way more of those mid-range jumpers.
He does.
What's the whole
thing? As long as he's heavily guarded.
Hold on, let's see. Let's do.
Yeah, exactly. Those face-up jumpers that he's guarded on. He's better shooting those than he is actual open threes. I don't.
Well, I mean, I think his three-point shooting, he shot. Last year he didn't shoot as well, but his first year he shot 34%. In year two he shot 33%. And then if you look at the mid-range jumpers, I mean, he shot 47% between 10 and 16 feet last year. But the years before that, he actually shot 28% and 39% between 10 and 16 feet.
Right. I'm looking at last year, though. I mean, obviously, he totally changed how he played last year, pretty much. In terms of where he is on the court, I think the coaching staff did a good job of putting him in those spots that he improved shooting from the mid-range, obviously. But
if you do the math, what is better? His career 41% between 10 and 16 feet or 33%
from three? Well, here's the thing. I don't know about the career. All right, yeah. It gets iffy looking at career numbers versus last season because, obviously, it's hard to look at, for me, when I look at a player who played 3 years in the NBA and look at their career numbers when he's clearly
a more developed player.
Much better than the other two. I don't know. It gets iffy for me. So I don't know how to analyze that, but yeah, just, I guess, I'm only looking at last year right now, but yeah, I don't know. He's from the mid range. I'm looking at shot chart right now, and he's a, from the mid-range, just in front of the three-point line even, he's a better shooter than behind it, just barely behind it. I guess he could work more this offseason on getting better at that three-point shot. That could be a focus of his, but one of the things he also improved on from 2012 to 2012-13 to last year was finishing at the rim. He was a terrible finisher his first 2 years in the NBA. Last year, he improved that, and I think almost at a 60% rate, he finished at the rim, which is about average, I think. But
that there's a thing with that also. A lot of that was generated by playing with Fry at the five, pulling a guy away from the hoop and making it easy on him. If you look at his at-the-rim numbers, they're better when Fry was on the court versus when Fry was off the court.
Yeah, that's true. And I think, well, obviously, if he starts, he's not going to get that space with Plumlee, but I do think he's also a lot of time at the five, in other lineups where Plumlee's out. So, because they're going to continue running those Markieff at the five and Marcus at the four with small lineups that they did.
Oh, that just doesn't work as good as with Fry, though.
Obviously, it doesn't. No way it does. For the record, I agree that there needs to be some sort of replacement plan for Fry because Markieff is not Fry, and they need that.
There has to be a replacement plan.
And there's no option. I mean, offensively, the best replacement for what he can bring offensively is Mike Scott, I think, out of the guys that are left. I would say he is. Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. No, finish. I was just saying I agree with you. I like Mike Scott a lot. Continue. Sorry.
Yeah, and then, but he just doesn't bring what Fry does on the defensive end. So you can't run out. He basically can play the four. You're not playing lineups. I don't know if Markieff and Mike Scott at the five and four is really something that can be functioning on a basketball court in long stretches. I mean, that doesn't, I don't really see that. I that's iffy to me.
Yeah. I think the ideal scenario would be trade for Ryan Anderson. I think we briefly discussed in the past. That would be fantastic. Obviously, Ryan Anderson also can't play the five, but he's just so much better at that stretch four role than any other possible replacement right now, especially in free agency, that I think it's something that they should look into. I don't know what the price is for New Orleans. I mean, they're trading for Ashik. So, I don't know. If Ashik and if Ashik, I'm assuming, starting at the 5 and Anthony Davis at the 4, Ryan Anderson can still get a lot of minutes off the bench playing with one or the other there. But I don't know how if they would keep one, if they're going to continue wanting to pay him $8 or $9 million to come off the bench.
And Scott, I will get your thoughts on this right after my quick comment here. This discussion we're having right now is an example of how valuable Channing Frye is, because there's really, he's an incredibly hard person to replace. Guys like the only, and these guys are so much extremely better at this than Frye is, but guys like Bosch, Kevin Love, Dirk Nowitzki, Aldridge, even though he doesn't shoot threes, he still brings us spacing that and the ability to play the 5 and 4. There's so few players in the NBA capable of doing this.
Andrea Bargnani.
Oh God, the absurdity. We should talk about that. That's a good point. But
can we never talk about that?
I also agree with that point. I would rather never think of him ever again. In case you didn't know, the Knicks re-signed Melo and Cole. I just wanted to make that clear. What Frye does.
Carmelo Anthony?
Yeah.
Wait. They also have Andrea Bargnani still on the roster, right? I just want to confirm.
I don't know who that is.
Okay.
Well, I'll help you. He was the number one pick in the 2006 draft. He was a pretty good Raptor. He was the number one pick, while Carmelo Anthony was the number three pick, so I'm pretty sure that makes Bargnani better.
Also, what did the Knicks give up to trade for him? I forget.
Not as much as the Nets did for Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett. Ha! We're not the dumbest team in New York.
Take that!
derailed again.
All right, Isaiah Thomas.
Right to Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah, well, Scott, you didn't really have any opinions on Frye. What are your strong opinions?
My opinions on Frye were all shark fight related, so I think I honestly had the best opinions on Channing Frye, so I just kind of blacked out to what you guys were saying.
I'm sorry for boggling.
Scott was busy getting started on his drawings of players being bitten by sharks while we were discussing Channing Frye.
I wasn't listening at all. I'm like the 4-year-old on the podcast.
I see
you guys talk about basketball. I'm going to draw with my crayons.
All right, so what kind of crayon drawings do you have for Isaiah Thomas then?
I'm excited about Isaiah Thomas. It was a little bit weird when I saw it, because the night before they ended up signing him, I can't remember who broke it, but they said, Isaiah's meeting with the Suns tonight, tomorrow. And then, his girlfriend was, posting pictures or something like that on Twitter. And so you're kind of like, oh, wow, this is, kind of a thing. And then I kind of assumed, oh, he's a restricted free agent, so I guess Sacramento will match. And then you see they reach terms on a contract. You're like, okay, whatever. Sacramento can still match. And then suddenly you get, it's going to be a sign and trade, and he's coming. I'm like, holy shit. And then you see the numbers. It's 4 years, $27 million for a guy who had a PER of almost 21 last year. So, I mean, what is there not to like? I mean, I guess it's going to be difficult finding minutes, but it's an asset. It's a valuable asset.
Yep.
Shaker?
No, I agree. I agree with everything you said. He seems like he is a really easy guy to root for, too. Every Kings fan that has commented on this has just been like, why did they not match that? And it's hilarious that the Kings chose to pay Darren Collison, $2 million less a year to replace Isaiah Thomas. I don't know what they had against Isaiah Thomas, but the Kings franchise just hated him while the fans loved him. I don't understand. And anyway, at that price. Yeah, sorry, what?
No, I was just going to ask if you think the Kings will ever be royal. For the win! I
want
the podcast.
And we have another hashtag on the bottom scrolling across now. Royal.
Sorry. I interrupted you for that. I'm sorry.
Yes. No, that was the best possible, I think. Please interrupt me with puns anytime you want. Jokes. That wasn't even a pun. That was just a bad joke.
It was a bad joke. I said the other day on Sean Sullivan's post about Luol Deng. He made some sort of crack about coming home, and I'd beaten him to it on Twitter. And so he posted in there my tweet, and then I kind of told him, I was like, you got to get up pretty fucking early in the morning to beat me to a bad joke or Streaker to a pun. So we're just going to smoke you on that.
Oh, yeah. We're pretty good at picking those low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't understand the point of not picking low-hanging fruit. If it's low-hanging,
exactly.
I'm higher up the fucking tree to get a higher fruit.
I want fruit. I'm just going to grab the closest fruit and eat it. How hard is that?
transition.
Why would they increase?
Seamless transition to Isaiah Thomas.
Do you know what the best part about having Isaiah Thomas on your team is? The one time a year you go to Madison Square Garden, he gets booed incessantly.
That is so funny. That is so random. For anyone who has no idea what we're talking about, and I think that's probably very few of you if you're listening to this niche basketball podcast, Isaiah Thomas was a basketball player for the Detroit Pistons in the 80s and 90s. Isaiah Thomas was not really well-liked in New York. And so now this guy, Isaiah Thomas of the Phoenix Suns now, has no relation to Isaiah Thomas of Detroit Pistons. But Nick, crazy ass.
No,
Knicks
you're
fans,
missing
like,
the you're missing the part where Isaiah Thomas was the general manager of the Knicks and was completely awful and ran our team into the ground.
Does that make him related to Isaiah Thomas, the Suns basketball player?
Yeah, but that's the more important relation than him being the Pistons player for why he gets booed at Madison Square Garden.
He just didn't give me a chance. I think he was the greatest Knicks coach of all time.
I just thought Knicks fans apparently just hate players under 5'10". I just assumed that was always the case. But
we love Nate Robinson. Why do we get that reputation?
No, that's true.
Oh, if you loved him so much, why did you let him leave?
Yeah, exactly. If you love something, you have to let it go.
Because we wanted LeBron James.
How did that work out?
Well, same way it worked out for you. Ha, how did it feel?
Oh, when we ended up overpaying Amari Stoudemire? Oh, that...
burn! $100 million to Amari.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. You guys just went about and instead paid 4 years, $20 million to Akeem Warwick. Good for you.
And we got Hedo Turkoglu, so eat that.
And Josh Childress.
We pulled Josh Childress out of Greece. We got Hedo Turkoglu out of Toronto. We got Akeem Warwick.
I got my birthday shout-out, role player. I'll say it later. But anyway, Isaiah Thomas. At that price, that's awesome. I just want to say the only other thought is this is kind of a tough topic for me, but I want to take a moment of silence for Alex Oriaki. He was a fantastic Phoenix Sun.
Oh my god!
Never forget his numerous highlights. Actually, moment of silence.
I'm gonna miss him.
That's all.
No, I mean, okay. Sincerely, someone posted a picture of Ryan McDonough talking to Alex Oriaki on a thread, and I had no idea who it was. I was like, who is that guy? I just assumed it was somebody who was, like, working out from the Suns, like, during, like, draft workouts. Alex Oriaki could come to my house, introduce himself as Alex Oriaki, and I'm like, yeah, who the fuck are you?
You know, I interviewed him at the second Suns Summer League practice and wrote a story about him right before he got traded.
Oh, yes, Sam Amick tweeted that out, didn't he?
Yes, he did. That was my story.
Yeah, no, I saw that.
I thought that was entertainingly funny.
You were Sam Amick's source.
Yes.
So Gibby, Streaker and I are a little fanboyish on Isaiah Thomas. So be evil, say some bad shit, make us feel bad about it. Go.
Oh, I think Isaiah Thomas makes a ton of sense for the Phoenix Suns. Their offense dropped dramatically when Dragic didn't play. Him and Fry.
Damn it!
Damn it! Shut up, the guy who calls Woj Waj.
A lodge bomb!
Yeah, I was going to have to get that in at some point. And me making fun of someone else for pronouncing a name wrong just doesn't really work. I grew up calling Wayne...
I'm surprised you can say your own name correctly.
I grew up... I used to call Wayne Krabat Wayne Trabat. That was a thing.
You watched Jets games religiously, and you couldn't get that right? That's so sad.
Yes, it is. I know. And I want to talk for a living, so, I mean, this is all kind of related.
But
and
you may want to work on that.
There's issues here with my pronunciation of athletes' names. Yeah, it's not good. But, yeah, the two bellwethers for the Suns' offense were pretty much Fry and Gorin. And
bellwethers?
Yeah.
Bellwethers. I'm sorry. I know I should let you talk about Isaiah Thomas, but now I just want to think about bellwethers. What is a bellwether?
I don't know. It's kind of like the same thing as the dominoes falling during free agency. Dominoes don't fall.
Talking.
They get picked up and placed.
I'm going to look up bellwethers. You keep talking.
Okay. That is a saying that gets used, right?
No, keep talking.
No, but I'm asking, isn't that a saying, or did I just make that up off the top of my head?
I've quite literally never heard that before.
Wow, you're right. I've never heard it either, but you are right, and you use it accurately.
Ha! Yeah, that's it. Suck it.
Wait, let me read it out. The bellwether, the leading sheep flock with a bell on its neck. So, you were saying Dragic, and Channing Frye were the leading sheep of the Suns flock with bells around their necks.
Perfect. Bellwethers.
There we go. All right, so now we're rolling with it. All right, Bellwethers works. And so now when Bledsoe plays, he can have another point guard with him that's not Ish Smith, who is awesome as he was because he said happy birthday to Scott Howard. Didn't really help the Suns' offense too much, even though he was fun and didn't shoot many threes, and Scott got his three-point percentage fixed. So, I mean, there was all these positives to Ish Smith. But Isaiah Thomas is a huge improvement to that and helps them. And what I'm worried about, the one thing I'm worried about is Isaiah Thomas and Gerald Green cannot play basketball together at the same time. That's not a thing that can really happen.
Yeah, that might be a little tough. How many minutes a game is Isaiah Thomas going to get in Phoenix?
28 to 30?
Yeah, I would say 20.
There's 96 guard minutes in a game, right?
Yeah. 48 plus 48. Mathematician.
So let's say Dragic get, what, 70?
I think I'm going to guess their goal is to get them below that. I'm going to guess they want them between 30 and 32.
Want to get all Spursy up in here.
Yeah, that's kind of... Look, the Suns kind of took their run at the LeBron and Melo thing, the LeBron-Bosch thing, whatever they did. So I think their kind of plan right now is to be Spursy, have... If you look at it, there's 11 guys that they could logically give potential minutes to, and they have a bunch of people they play between 15 and 30 minutes and also keep that flexibility going forward to make a big trade if one comes along. But start the season, I think we could see a very Spursian way from the Suns.
Sure. Now that they have additional bellwethers.
Well, no, they only fixed one of the bellwether. They still need another one to come in.
Okay, we need more bellwethers.
Yeah, more bellwethers.
Off-season to-do list, additional bellwethers.
P.J. Tucker.
Okay. Yeah, let's talk about P.J. Tucker.
Speaking of bellwethers.
He's the bellwetheriest of them all.
Yes, he is.
So what was the deal? What was the deal for P.J.? 3 years, $16.5 million?
And on the third year isn't fully guaranteed, which is an important point.
Third year isn't fully guaranteed. It's a fantastic deal. I think PJ wants to be here, obviously. I think the Suns want him here. I mean, it's really hard not to be happy about that. I mean, I'm pretty stoked just to see PJ, like, crazily sprint towards the basket and just chuck the ball towards the rim on fast breaks for three more years, potentially. Very excited.
Yes. Those are my thoughts.
That's all you have to say.
That's all. PJ and TJ together on the same team now.
So I have to give the serious thoughts?
Yeah, please.
He's obviously a huge asset to their defense and very important because he guards, whether it be 1 through 4, he can guard the best player on the opposing team. Offensively, he has to continue to hit the corner threes. If that isn't a thing, that's going to continue, and it was only 1 year. That's kind of an issue. But he's the perfect player to have play off of high usage guys like Goran and Bledsoe. So he works really well in those situations.
Yeah, so serious. Good job.
Anytime. I'm not good at jokes like you guys are. Sorry.
I wouldn't say we're good at jokes. I say we do jokes. It's a little bit different. Maybe Streaker's good at jokes.
No. All
right. Any other stunning PJ Tucker takes? Should we compare him to any sort of like other old like references like bellwethers? Bellwether.
Probably tastes good in a sandwich.
Bogdan Bellwether Bogdanovich.
Bellwether Bellwetherovich. Okay. How about Summer League? Should we talk about Summer League now?
Yeah, TJ Warren is gonna average 22 points a game his rookie year. Miles Plumlee's never scoring again. That's what I deduced from yesterday's game. Alex Lynn is going to be very good, but he will never be healthy. What else? Tyler Ennis can play basketball. Archie Goodwin is very mercurial, but Seth Pollock would still do nasty things to him.
Nasty things.
Seth Curry. Alec Brown was pretty damn awful yesterday.
He was not good.
He was poor.
who was that, Rich Anthony, wrote this, like, really long article on Brightside about how great Alec Brown was going to be and how Alec Brown was going to be, like, possibly he could make the rotation this year. And Alec Brown must have read that, because Alec Brown looked like he was terrified yesterday. He's just jacking shit towards the basket.
Yeah, I mean, you could, he's a big guy, and apparently he can shoot the ball. He was just way off on every single one. And, I mean, I'm assuming game, because looking at his percentages, he's normally a much better shooter than that. Anyway.
Zero?
Yes, that's zero. but no, I mean, obviously, it's just one game. You can't really take too much away from it. The only things you can take away from summer leagues is certain things players do that can carry over to the regular season. And one thing that really stood out was right on in line with everything we've heard about T. Warren is he just knows how to put the ball in the hoop. Like, he always has a really nice touch. And one of those, I guess, those cliche basketball terms, he has a nose for the ball. It's pretty accurate for him.
Yeah, Miles Plumlee is still quite the experience offensively. Like, it's
Can we talk about the fall-away jump shot he took yesterday? He did a post move right in front of the basket and then tried to drop a fall-away jump shot. I literally sat up in my chair and was like, why? What was that? I'm sorry. Like, no matter how much Miles Plumlee works on that shot, it's never going to be a good one for him. Ever. And then he shot, like, a corner jump shot, too, later in the game. I think, like, in the last minute and a half of the game. And that bricked badly. Like, whoever told Miles Plumlee, like, hey, you should really focus on your jumper, I'd like to talk to them.
Can we talk about Summer League? Can we get him out of your system now, Miles.
Can we talk about how people watch Summer League? I think this is a problem. It's on my timeline, I'm just seeing multiple people tweet out things like how many points someone's scoring and like, ooh, Archie Goodwin's bringing the Suns back. He has 10 straight points in the third quarter. It doesn't fucking matter. Any outcome or how many points and anything looking box score related doesn't matter. When you watch Summer League, what you should be doing is watching for how players have developed skills. Last year, we saw that Archie Goodwin could score on the bunch of schmucks that play in Summer League. That's not what you need to see from him this year. For him to be able to get rotation minutes, you need to see him showing an ability to create for himself and to create for his teammates, not himself. We know he can score against lower competition. What I want to see from Archie Goodwin is, how about he has a game where he scores 2 points and has 8 assists and shows an ability to distribute and run an offense, or at least play off the ball and then attack and then get a guy and get someone like Miles Plumlee a dunk on a dump off pass. That's what you need to see from Archie Goodwin to see him take the next step as a basketball player, not him attack like a maniac and get fouled and get his head slammed into the hoop like what seems to happen 5 times a quarter.
That's a rational take. For an irrational take, TJ Warren is the next Paul Pierce.
I really like TJ Warren, though. I said it before, what he needs, now they'll have two guys in Markieff and TJ who can do that type of thing, get the ball and score in late clock situations. Now, I look at it a little different. With someone like with the rookies, I want them to use this as a place to build and get confidence, so I don't mind them as much playing to their strengths and getting comfortable doing what they're doing. Archie's already gone through this experience, so I want to see him experiment a little bit more.
Sure. And now, the one thing that disappoints me about Summer League is that Alex Len's going to miss the rest of it with the finger injury, which is just a freaking disappointment. He was what I wanted to see the most out of Summer League.
Especially in Vegas, when you're going out, that finger could be really useful after hitting the clubs.
What is he going to use it for? How do you go to clubs, Gibby?
After the club.
What?
It could be.
Oh, wow. Wow. All right, well, I'm just going to put these down. You guys have a fun rest of the podcast. Anyone that has listened to this point, I'm sorry.
So sorry.
We apologize on behalf of our, like, crazy cousin Eddie over here. Because, honestly, I thought to myself, no, that can't be what he's talking about. That can't possibly be what he's talking about. I figured, like, maybe, like, that's how, like, you had him dancing at the clubs with, like, his finger out, like he's, like, a 1920s guy doing the fucking Charleston.
No.
But no, you went disgusting. You're an awful human.
You know, Alex Smith still has his middle finger, and if he heard that, he would probably use that on you right now.
Oh, I'm done.
Okay. Oh, Gibby. That's just terrible. So the Suns have another summer league game tonight against Jabari Parker and the Bucks. How about that transition?
Good save.
He is really fat, by the way.
Jabari
Parker? Yeah. He looked
fat. Well, I can't wait for TJ Warren to eat his lunch tonight, because TJ Warren's a future Hall of Famer.
Yeah. What, he's going to go up, isn't Warren, yeah, Warren's going to... Warren's going to go up against Giannis, and as we're talking about this, I mean, by the time people actually listen, the game's probably going to already be over.
Should we make wild predictions, then?
I got Giannis for a quadruple-double.
Okay, I have TJ Warren breaking Marcus Banks' scoring record.
I have Miles Plumlee making a hook shot.
Well, all right, now you're just going too far.
Don't be ridiculous. Come on.
You just took it a step too far.
Miles Plumlee will back into the post, then back away from his defender for an unnecessary reason, attempt a line drive hook shot, and one of them will go in.
That's more ridiculous than my finger comment from before.
Oh, so it's not. So, fun fact. So, last night I went and played trivia, and one of the team's names was Miles Plumlee's hair, and I really enjoyed that. So if anyone listening to this podcast did that, please let me know, because I just want to, like, internet high-five you.
I don't get the Miles Plumlee hair joke.
There is no joke. They named their team Miles Plumlee's hair, and I thought that was awesome.
Because Miles Plumlee's hair is awesome.
Mm-hmm. What are you missing there? Where's the connection? What synapse isn't firing on this?
Like Robin Lopez's hair, the team. Okay, I get that.
What Miles Plumlee's hair is? You look at his hair. He looks like he should be playing soccer.
Yeah, it's very. He has unique hair. So, Gibby, you're wrong.
You know the little tiny Puerto Rican roommate I have, Scott?
I do.
He has a picture on Facebook posted with Miles Plumlee. He goes to Wildfish, where my roommate bartends.
Nice. I just like the way you described him. You know my tiny Puerto Rican roommate.
He was right here. He'll join the podcast.
Hi, guys!
That's the tiny Puerto... That would be the tiny Puerto Rican roommate. Irish, too, I should add. Puerto Rican-Irish.
Special guests on the podcast. Giverman's tiny Puerto Rican roommate.
Who says, wait, hold on. We can get some inside information here. How often does Miles Plumlee go to the culinary Wildfish area to eat?
I honestly I've seen him there probably in the last 3 months, maybe 20 times.
And if you want to know why Miles Plumlee is not doing good at basketball during Summer League, there you go.
He has a drink, though.
Yeah, is it possible that Miles just doesn't give a shit about Summer League? I was thinking about that yesterday while I was watching him suck.
Maybe. I mean, he's like, I've started for an almost playoff team for an entire year, so I don't know.
I'm not even trying to be, like, ridiculous or tell a joke with that. I honestly think he might just not give a shit about Summer League.
I don't think the Suns coaching staff would be too happy about that. They seem to...
Yeah,
that,
I'm sure he's not advertising it.
Mike Lombardi, I can't pronounce his name, the guy who...
Lombardi?
Yeah, is that how you pronounce it? He's really tiny also. Yeah, he's probably the same height as my roommate. He is freaking out on the sidelines during those games. He is a lunatic.
Our tiny white American coach, since that's how we're going to describe people now.
He was... When we were asking him questions, we had talked to him for about 6 minutes... And he looks at the PR person, and he just goes, "Are they done yet? They've asked me a lot of questions." He just wanted nothing to do with it. 6 minutes, and he was done. He's gonna be really happy when he's a head coach, and he has to talk after practice, before the game, and then after the game again. He is going to love that.
Oh, poor guy. He's just a little fella. He's tired. He just wants to go to sleep. He doesn't want to answer your questions. Be nice.
I'm not taking a shot, am I? If I was a coach, I'd fucking hate dealing with the media also. We're a bunch of obnoxious pricks. It's annoying.
Yeah.
No question.
I'm not even a coach, and I don't want to talk to you, Gibby.
that's the kind of magic we have on this podcast. He wants nothing to do with him.
As we're going on 40 minutes.
We are going on 40 minutes.
Let's talk about the Western Conference in general for a little bit here, since we're at this point. Did you have another point to make since before I was transitioning there? I saw you made
No,
you're good. That facial reaction you made.
I just want to point out, while we're talking about Mike Longobardi, an anagram for Mike Longobardi is imaginable dork.
Finally, someone gets an anagram, man.
Yes, that's all. Now we can move on.
Okay, I'm just going to call him Mike. I'm never going to attempt to pronounce
Coach
his
Mike.
Last name. Yeah, Coach Mike.
Coach Coach Mike. Like, he's a little kid's t-ball coach.
Last time the Suns had a coach named Mike, they were good. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, you nailed that one. killing it, Streaker. Killing it.
Free agency is moving along. Where do we kind of... And the major moves, I think, have gone down. Because now with Parsons going to the Mavericks, Lance isn't going to be able to go there, which I think would have been a really good move for them. So that takes that out.
Yeah.
Are the Suns better than the Rockets with them losing Parsons and only getting a Ariza and not getting Bosh?
They shouldn't be.
You still think because of Dwight Rockets, and Harden?
Yeah. I don't think they should. Yeah. Yeah, I think Ariza's a good fit for them, given that he's, like, you know, somewhat close to the Ariza he was last year and not the Rockets Ariza from the last time around.
So, no, that's the thing about Ariza, though. This is, like, what, the third time he's going to get a contract? And, like, the first two times he got his contract and he's like, yeah, I don't give a shit anymore. I'm just going to start jacking threes, like, not being terrible. And, like, who gives a shit? So it'll be interesting to see what they get.
What about the Mavs? With Parsons starting the Raymond Felton Devin Harris combo at point guard,
Chandler at center, Parsons, they'll subtract Marion.
It's Carter's a big loss. I know that Scott's favorite player. I don't know.
I do love Vince Carter. I love him, as everyone knows.
Their bench unit was actually the best part of that team last year.
Yeah,
and now it's all been kind of broken up.
I mean, they still have what? Brandon Wright, yeah, I mean, that center combo is actually really good, now that I think about it. Chandler and Brandon Wright.
Brings two different things to the table. Bright a little bit better offensive. More versatile offensively, I'd say. Not better. Yeah. But the Mavericks are really, if they upgrade at point guard, they'd be a really, really dangerous team. But they have to, I really wanted Lance and Monta to happen, because you don't have your traditional, I'm making quotation marks, just in case people on the podcast don't know, traditional point guard, but you had two guys who could really initiate and create on offense. That would have been a lot of fun.
Yeah, and obviously Rick Carlisle usually figures it out, so that team should be pretty good.
It really sucks being in the Western Conference.
Yeah, it does.
I'm kind of a fan. I like how it's all separated right now.
Shit, man, I just pulled up the Western Conference standings. I just pulled them up. So, okay, you want to go through it? Let's do it a little faster. We got the Spurs, obviously, who are the defending champions and are still going to be awesome. You got Oklahoma City, who's going to be awesome again. The Clippers are going to be awesome again. Houston, like we said, might take a step back. Portland, I think, added depth to their bench.
I think Portland drops back. I vote Portland drops back.
How much?
Yeah. If I were a betting person, which I no longer do because I lost a lot of money doing that one time, I would bet Portland doesn't make the playoffs.
Wow. I don't know about that much. I think of all those teams, I think Portland is probably likeliest to see a drop, just because last year was such a, last year was successful, but at the same time, a lot of it was predicated on
making jump shots.
Yeah. So we'll see. Aldridge is really good at what he does, at those inefficient shots. And Lillard is really good too, even though he doesn't shoot the highest percentages.
Or play defense.
No defense. That's the thing. There's no defense. It remains to see what their bench does, because that's always their weakness. Their starting five is really solid. What are the other teams? Let's see.
All right, Golden State, finished sixth. Golden State's, like, still going to be good. They might give and trade Klay Thompson to get Kevin Love.
No, they're not. That's the thing. They're going to be good because Klay Thompson's apparently the new Michael Jordan, which is why they're unwilling to be. So they're guaranteed.
For a top 10 player.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you're right there. Memphis won 50 games last year when Marc Gasol missed, like, 30 of them.
And now they have
Vince Carter. Memphis is really good.
Yeah, Memphis is really good. They replaced Mike Miller with Vince Carter. Dallas, that we just talked about. There's your top eight who finished last year. And then you got the Suns, who I don't know if we've talked about the Suns yet on this podcast. Minnesota, I have no fucking clue what they're going to do.
The Pelicans are better.
Pelicans, yeah, Anthony Davis is a freak. He's probably got... Oh, fun fact for everybody. Gibberman and I have this bet that I made idiotically last summer.
He was drunk.
I just said...
Well, we were both drunk.
after he just said that he doesn't bet, he does bet with me. So we often make bets. One of the bets we made is that Anthony Davis would be first team All NBA in the next 5 years. And I was like, no, there's no way. And I'm totally going to lose I might lose that bet next year. I thought I might lose it this year. That's how good Anthony Davis was.
Yeah. He's
I've made better bets, let's put it that way.
Speaking of being drunk, supposedly it's bad that we sound like we're drunk on this podcast.
I don't think we sound like we're drunk. I just think it's become necessary for us to disclose whether we are or not. And since it's like almost 4 o'clock on a Sunday, I can say that I'm not, so I feel good about that.
Yes, I too am sober.
I'm going to work in an hour, so I'm sober today.
I feel like it's important that we clarify that for everybody. They need to know.
I agree. So now that they know that our deep basketball analysis can be taken seriously.
I just want to be taken seriously. That's all I want on this podcast. You guys know that.
That's why we started this. We really just want people to take us seriously all the time.
We don't want to have fun. We want to sound like we're having a horrible time and we're bored.
Yeah.
I hate fun. I hate fun. Honestly, it's my least favorite thing. So let's have as little fun as possible. All right, should we get to wrapping this up or something?
Yeah, what? Are you giving anything away this time?
You know, I had an idea. I'm just not sure if I want the shark thing to take it over. So how about this? I like the shark thing, and I like drawing with crayons, because drawing with crayons is awesome. So if you send me a Twitter DM, I'll draw you a picture of a basketball player of your choosing being eaten by a shark. And I'll put a little backstory in there, too, like why he got eaten by a shark, how he got tricked into getting eaten by a shark. Hopefully this will be more of a hit than my creepy-ass internet favors thing from last time, which just didn't work. It did not work at all, which I should not have been surprised by, but hey, what are you going to do? So I'll do that.
It's actually really fucking, because anytime I hear internet favors, I usually hit them up. Actually, you know what? I ask people for internet favors unsolicited. I go to the and ask them for internet favors. So this is
just on the street. Just on the street, you ask for internet favors.
Hey, do you have any internet favors? And then I get shot.
How often does this happen?
You know, once a week or so.
You get shot once a week. Okay, so there's that. The one condition I want to put on it is, as much as I love our international listeners, I do not enjoy having to pay postage to send things.
How much is that?
Oh, it depends. It's like, I sent one to Slovenia, and I popped like 4 stamps on there. I'm not even sure if it's going to get there. It may or may not. I guess we'll see. So for you guys, I'll draw you a picture, and then I will send you a picture of the picture.
that's probably better. Yes.
That's my offer.
Shrieker birthday.
Oh, yeah. Josh Childress.
I love that.
Wait, shouldn't we do Isaiah Thomas this week, I feel like, in honor of him signing?
No, we gotta wait. Can't just tell him we're Suns fans. Scott Howard is a Suns fan.
That's a good welcome for him.
But we can't... I don't know, man. We'll wait, though. Alright, fine, we'll do Isaiah Thomas, sure. Josh Childress can wait. But the Suns are probably still gonna be paying him for another year, so... Josh Childress can wait.
Josh Childress can wait.
We gotta give... I think it's a good welcome for Isaiah Thomas to have... his biggest fan asked for a birthday welcome.
I think I might be his biggest fan. Like, the more I read about Isaiah Thomas, I'm like, this guy seems awesome. I cannot wait to root for this guy.
Do you guys see that thing with, like, him and DeMarcus Cousins, like, bromance? Like, when they photoshopped pictures of each other for, like, 10 different times. Alright, I'll show it to you. Anyway, the thing was, DeMarcus Cousins and Isaiah Thomas on Twitter just started ribbing on each other, because, like, DeMarcus Thomas first Isaiah Thomas made fun of DeMarcus Cousins because he's slow, and Cousins made fun of Isaiah Thomas because he's short, and then they just started photoshopping things of each other, and it's like my favorite thing ever now.
That's adorable!
Especially considering he's with one of my favorite players in the league, DeMarcus Cousins.
Sure, which makes total sense. Yes.
Guys, exactly. And just to be clear, Colin Mello re-signed with the Knicks.
I haven't heard that.
Sucks. Now, Greg Bargnani is still on the team, by the way.
Ah, take that.
Cole and Mello are back. That's all that matters. Is that how we're going
to
write?
Let's wrap this up.
Wait, where's Amari?
Is he still on the Knicks?
Part of his body, I guess.
Part of his body? His soul is on the Knicks?
No, his soul's in Israel.
Oh, of course. My mistake. My mistake. It was well played.
All right. Anyone have anything else to add before we wrap this up?
I just want everyone out there to look out for shark bites. That's all I can really ask for people.
Yeah, to all our listeners, we thank you for listening, and we sincerely hope you don't get bitten by sharks. That's how much we care.
And that is it.
Bright Side After Dark.
We'll just end with that.